Congress very busy this week, passing a tax reform bill and getting a new spending plan together before heading off for the holiday. Joining us to talk about what they're doing is North Texas area Congressman and Dr. Michael Burgess. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Amy. It's always so good to talk with you.
Yeah, same here. I know you're really busy this morning, so let's get right to it.
Sure.
Were you happy with the tax reform bill? I know you voted for it not once, but twice.
Yeah, and I would have voted for it again if we'd brought it up again. But it's a step in the right direction. It's the correct thing to do. It's not all the simplification I would have wanted when we started out this year, and with the acknowledgement that broad fundamental tax reform is now within a possibility. I thought things might turn out a little differently. I didn't get all the simplification I wanted, but for probably 85% of people who file, the doubling of the personal exemption means that they will no longer have to itemize in order to get the best rate on their taxes, and as a consequence, that by definition simplification. And I always put that in within the context of my own shoebox full of receipts and how long it takes me to get. I don't do my taxes myself because it would be risky, but even the time invested with an accountant now will be significantly reduced.
Right. The big thing in this for you is the tax reform plan repeals the individual mandate, essentially ending Obamacare. And I know you'd been pushing for that.
Well, it doesn't end Obamacare, but it actually two pieces of the Affordable Care Act are now no longer operational. One is the individual mandate. And remember that when the Affordable Care Act passed, it told people who were deducting their medical expenses after they were higher than 7.5% of their adjusted gross income, that number jumped up to 10%. Well, we brought it back down to 7.5%. So one way to look at it is one of the Affordable Care Act taxes got repealed in this as well. So that's a good step, too. But the individual mandate is key, and that is, to me, it's the key that gets us through the door to begin to talk about anything else in health policy. You know the difficulties that I encountered in our committee last year, that we encountered in the House, and then, of course, the Senate never was able to get even to the starting line, let alone the finish line. The individual mandate was a sticking point, and now that is out of there, I'll just tell you, yesterday I had a lengthy meeting with subcommittee staff talking about what are the directions we are going to – we have to shift gears. There will be a new direction in healthcare policy that is no longer dictated by the individual mandate and trying to work around the individual mandate. And for people – and I encounter folks all the time who say, this individual mandate, I'm having to pay a fine so that I can buy a policy that I can actually afford that covers what I need. So that person now gets immediate relief, relief in a year's time when that fine will be removed from their lives. And that's a big step as far as really putting things back in control of where people want them to be rather than what the government wants.
So what direction do you think you need to take now on health care?
Well, just after the passage of the bill, there was some talk before the bill that some senators had this bipartisan Murray-Alexander cost-sharing reduction bill. Well, that got pulled, and no one is talking about that anymore. So certainly I'd like to see us go more in a direction of individual control, health savings accounts. One of the things that we had in the health care bill that passed the House but never got a fair shake in the Senate was the concept of a hybrid between a risk-sharing arrangement and a reinsurance arrangement. Some states are already doing this. They have brought premium costs down in their individual markets significantly by doing that and made insurance available to many more people. That is something that I would like to see us explore. Texas, in their last legislative session, recreated what used to be called the Texas risk pool. Now, there's no one being insured there now. There's no money there. But if we could make some money available for the state, that's something that could be up and running in as little as a couple of months' time. So that would be a big win, certainly for the people in Texas. And I'm excited about getting now to be able to move in that direction. But the individual mandate coupled with the subsidy really was what there was never an incentive for an insurance company to be interested in someone's longitudinal health. It was always just the point of sale, and if you're too sick, we'll try to get rid of you next year. And that's a crummy way to go about coverage. And look, I shed no tears for insurance companies. They're doing very well. But I would like to see the types of products that are available to people to be much more user-friendly and, again, for it to be something that covered someone over a much longer spectrum of their lives rather than just the point of sale and the next 11 months.
Just real quick, I know you've got to run to a meeting and we're up against the clock. We heard a spending package may or may not be close. What are we dealing with this morning?
Well, that's why I thank you for moving the call up. That's why I had to do it. We are fixing to go into the Rules Committee. My understanding is that the Minority Leader Pelosi and Steny Hoyer are going to be some of our first witnesses, and they're going to tell us something. I don't know what they're going to tell us. And obviously, there are some agreements that have been worked out between the Speaker and some of the other members that went in late into the night last night. I don't have any of the details on that now, but I will tell you this. We cannot leave town until we fund our military. It's just too critical, and the world's too dangerous. So this funding the military with IOUs has been detrimental to their readiness, and we need to move off of that and do the defense appropriations bill, and there are a lot of us who feel that way right now.
All right. Dr. and Congressman Michael Burgess, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.